a million times. That would be a good book, wouldn't it, Pete? I've messed up a million times. Today I want to speak about something that every single one of us understands, even if we don't always admit it. The feeling that says, oh no, I've messed up again. Or I should have known better by now. Or how many times can I get this wrong? Or surely God must be tired of me by now. And maybe you've said it quietly in your heart that I've messed up a million times. Not once, not twice, not even seven times, but a million times. And the truth is that we've all been there, haven't we? Even I mess up. I still mess up. You know, I was talking to a group of people the other day online, and I was brutally honest with them. I said, you know, that where I'm going to mess up, where I'm going to trip up, is with my lack of patience, with my irritability. And poor Janet, you know, she can just ask me a loving question, and just in that moment, because I'm dealing with something else, I'll just snap at her. And I think to myself, what did you do that for? It's just like, it just comes out. And I think, what did you do that for? You mess up like that with her again. She wasn't doing anything wrong, but she was on the receiving end of it. Do you know what I mean? There's something especially heavy about repeating mistakes. If we fall once, then we call it a bad day, don't we? But if we fall twice, then we start calling it a weakness in us. And when we fall again and again in the same area, then those areas of anger or gossip or lust or pride or impatience or dishonesty or neglecting prayer, and it starts to feel like that's who we are. It feels like our identity. And we stop saying, I made a mistake, and we start saying, I am a mistake. And that is where the shame settles in at that point, where we start saying, I am a mistake. And the shame starts to whisper into our hearts that we are hopeless and that we'll never change. And like, seriously, you call yourself a Christian. And perhaps worst of all, we say, God may forgive others, but not someone who keeps doing this over and over and over again. But I've got good news for you today. That is that repeated failure does not cancel God's repeated mercy for us. We read about Peter in the Bible, not in the back row, Peter in the Bible. The man who messed up repeatedly. I mean, this is a brilliant case study for us, church. Peter, the man who messed up repeatedly. Peter was bold, he was passionate, he was devoted. He walked on the water and then he sank. He declared Jesus was the Messiah and then he rebuked him. He promised loyalty unto death and then he denied Jesus three times. Three times. Not under comfort, but under pressure, in fear and in public. And after the third denial, the cock crowed. Can you imagine that moment? I've tried. I can't actually imagine it. I mean, the sound cutting through the air of the crowing and the realization flooding in, the shame and the tears that Peter experienced. See, Peter didn't just mess up, but he messed up after he promising that he wouldn't. You know, that's the worst kind of failure, isn't it? And yet, this was not the end of Peter's story. After the resurrection, Jesus didn't come and shame Peter. He did not come and give Peter a lecture. He did not say to Peter, oh, I warned you. Instead, on a beach over breakfast, over breakfast. Jesus asked him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's funny he said it 3 times. Do you love me? Because Peter had just spewed out 3 denials. And then Jesus goes ahead, and over that breakfast that morning on the beach, he entrusts Peter with leadership. That Peter, the one who failed Jesus publicly, became the one who preached boldly. Why? Because family, grace is greater than our failure. Grace is greater than our failure. You know, God's not even surprised that we mess up. He's not surprised. Now, sometimes we behave as if God is totally shocked by our weakness, and it's like as though in heaven he says, well, I never saw that coming with Robin. Psalm 103 tells us that the Lord remembers that we are dust. That God knows our frame, He knows our tendencies, and He knows our battles. Before we committed that sin, God knew. Before we lost our temper, God knew. Before we broke that promise, God knew. And do you know what? Do you know what? He loved you anyway. He loved you anyway. No, family, that doesn't excuse sin. But it changes how we return to Jesus after we have sinned. We do not return to a furious judge waiting to strike us down, but we return to a Father who already made provision for us at the cross for these moments. Let's be honest right now, that if our salvation depended on us improving ourselves, then none of us would stand. Jesus did not go to the cross for tidy people who only slip up maybe once a year. But Jesus went to the cross for the repeat offenders, for the stubborn hearts, for the slow learners, and for the people who say, Lord, I would have thought that I've conquered everything by now, but I haven't. The cross was not a small bandage for us, but it was a total rescue. When Jesus said, it is finished, he did not mean that that covers your first 3 mistakes, but he meant it is finished. It's covered all your mistakes. The past sins, the present sins, the sins you're going to commit tomorrow and in the future. This is not a permission for us to sin, but a provision for when we do sin. You know, family, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. And this is something very important that we really need to understand. The condemnation says you are worthless, so go and hide away from God. But conviction says this is not who you are. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. Condemnation pushes you away from God, but conviction draws you closer to Him. But if after you fail, you feel driven into despair and distance, that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit corrects, but always with hope. Always with hope. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Not for the first failure, not for the 100th failure, not for the millionth failure. I want to just be very clear with you this afternoon, church. The grace is not complacency. We do not say, well, I mess up constantly, but never mind. No. Grace empowers the change in us. Proverbs says, though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. I want us to notice this. It does not say that the righteous never fall. It says they rise. They rise. That what makes them righteous is not perfection, but it is persistence in returning to God. Now, you may have fallen again this week. I did. But rise again. Rise again. Because the enemy, Satan, he wants us to stay down. He wants to keep us down there. Whereas God, the voice of God, is calling us back to him. The greatest danger of repeated sin is not the sin itself. It's the identity that sin tries to create in us. And we say things like, I'm just an angry person, or I'm just weak, or I'll never change, or this is just who I am. No. No. If you are in Christ, your identity is not failure, but your identity is a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a son and a daughter of God. And from that position, you fight. We do not strive to earn sonship, but we live because we already have sonship. I'm sure, we've all seen a toddler, haven't we? They're learning to walk and they fall over constantly. Yeah, when that toddler's learning to walk and they fall over, the parent doesn't say to the child, clearly you're not cut out for walking, are you? Have you ever seen that? Stand with your arms open, encouraging them. And then the toddler falls over halfway, and then the parent goes and picks them up and says, come on, come on. That's what God's like with us. They pick up the child again and again and again and again times 1 million. And each fall is part of the learning to walk. So what do we do when we mess up? Again. Listen carefully, because you might need this tomorrow. In actual fact, I reckon you will need this tomorrow. What do we do when we mess up again? Number one, we confess quickly. Confess it quickly. Do not delay. Do not rationalize, but bring it into the light. Bring it to God. Secondly, receive forgiveness fully. Stop repunishing yourself for what Christ has already paid for on the cross. Thirdly, learn humbly. Ask, okay, so what led me here? And where was I vulnerable? Fourth, put practical boundaries in place. Now, grace is spiritual, but wisdom is practical. And fifthly, keep walking. Do not withdraw from church. Do not stop praying, and definitely do not start avoiding God. The worst thing you can do after failure is to isolate yourself, because that's exactly where shame wants to put you, on your own, where the devil can get a hold of you and keep you down there. We serve a God of the million chances. So if you're feeling like this today, that you've exhausted God's patience, then I have a message for you. That you cannot out-sin God's mercy. The book of Micah says that God delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Not tolerates, not reluctantly extends it, but he delights. That God is not sitting up in heaven and rolling his eyes every time that we stumble, but he's committed to finishing the work that he started in you. That sanctification is not instant, it is a process, and sometimes painfully slow process. But if you're still turning back to God, if you're still grieving sin, if you're still desiring change in your inner being, then that in itself is evidence that God is still at work in you. The story's not over. It's far from over. You may have messed up a million times, but God's faithfulness is not counted in numbers. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Not recycled mercy, not leftover mercy, but new mercy every morning. That today is not defined by yesterday's failure. Peter's denial did not define him. David's adultery did not cancel him. Paul's persecution did not disqualify him. And your repeated mistake does not end your story either. Breathing. So if you've fallen, rise again. If you feel ashamed, come to Jesus again. If you think you've used up all your chances, then trust him again. Because the gospel is not about how many times you failed, family. It's not about how many times you failed. But it's about how faithful God remains to us. And God has never, not once, messed up with you or messed up with me. So if you've fallen, rise again. If you feel ashamed, come to Jesus again. And if you think you've used up all your chances, trust him again. He is the God of a million chances. Amen. Now, don't run out this church today thinking, oh, that was a lovely talk. Practice it. Might not even be by tomorrow that you've messed up. It might be an hour after you get home tonight. No, you haven't blown it. You haven't blown it. But it's what you do with it. What you do with it, that's what matters. You know what's ridiculous about it is you don't even know. Sometimes, you know, the sin that isn't like premeditated, that's the one that always shocks us the most. We're like, whoa, how did that just happen? So easy. Because we are so frail in our flesh and in our minds. Well, we need Jesus. You know, as a pastor, it's difficult because people ask me a question sometimes. They say, why didn't God help me? And I like have to bite my lip. I have to like, I'm like wanting to say, because you didn't actually call on him. But that's how it is. We're quick to play. We're quick to blame God, but we're not quick to call him. So it's up to you. You're going to rise, or you're going to stay on the ground and let the devil play a bit of kickbox with you. And leave you in a place of shame and lies. Or you're going to stand up and rise and walk, knowing who you are in Christ, in his strength. The Bible says that even in our weakness, he is strong. And walk in his strength, just trusting him to take the next step with us, to guide us, to walk with us. Let's stand up a moment. I'm going to ask you just to make one declaration as we close. Right, now don't, please, okay, seriously, like, I want you to picture this, right? So, like, you're in Africa, okay? And like, you see a lion, right? Yeah? And this lion is like, there's nowhere for you to go, and you know this is tickets, right? This lion's going to eat you. And even worse, you're like thinking, oh no, the lion's saying grace. He's saying, for what I'm about to receive, thank you, God. Yeah? Now you're going to maybe shout at that lion, aren't you? But you're not going to shout like, you're going to shout boldly, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's how I want you to shout today, like you've got that lion in front of you. And I just want you to simply say this, I will rise. We do that, come, one, two, three, go. Come on, do it again, come on. One, two, three.
I will rise.
There we go. Not just today, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, maybe Thursday you'll be tired, you'll slip up and you... Are we committed?
Yes, amen.
This is fantastic. God bless you all.